Restaurant Unstoppable, episode 12.
Welcome to RestaurantUnstoppable.com. Listen to successful restaurant professionals as they discuss the tools, tactics, and services they use to better lead, manage, and market their restaurants. Join our community and make your restaurant dreams unstoppable. Here's your host, Eric Cacciatore.
Yo! What's going on, all you unstoppable restaurant professionals? It's me, your host, Eric Cacciatore. I have no crazy intros for you today, just a reminder that you need to find me on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Google+, all those great places, and connect. Start asking me questions. Start asking for people to listen to. If you're somebody who is worth listening to, tell me you want to be heard. I'll have you on the show, and you can start contributing to the community here that we are creating at Restaurant Unstoppable. Please remember that everything we discuss during the episode, you can check out at my website, www.restaurantunstoppable.com/podcast. Just click on the episode and look at the show notes, and it's all there. Links to products and services we talk about, and links to Amazon and Audible, where you can find the books, but you have to go to the show notes. Lastly, 5-star reviews, guys. I could really use them on both Stitcher Radio and iTunes. It's super easy, and it goes a long way in helping get the word out about my show. All right. My rambling's over. Enjoy the show, guys. All right, today's guest attended the Atlanta Culinary Academy, where he earned a high achievement in excellence in culinary arts. His work experience started at the French Laundry and includes stints at Arrow's Restaurant, the Dunaway Restaurant, Hugo's, Epic, and Brasserie Joe, where he held numerous titles. He is most recently known for his role as head chef at When Pigs Fly in Kittery, Maine. And he is currently working on opening a new restaurant in South Berwick, but I'm sure he'll tell you more about that later on. With excitement, please allow me to introduce today's guest, Ben Hasty.
Hi, just letting you know, I have you on speakerphone, and I'm sitting here with my business and life partner, Jen Fecto, as well.
Jen,
chime in a little bit.
Thank you for joining the conversation.
Sure.
Awesome. So there were a bunch of acknowledgments and awards you've won when I was researching you. I couldn't even start to decide which ones to mention. Are there any that are important to you that you'd like to mention on air?
I would say the most important to me was 2 years in a row, the People's Choice from Seacoast Online. Basically, it means that the people who are dining out in the Seacoast area voted for me 2 times in a row as their favorite chef, and that's really what it's all about.
That is awesome. I can understand why that would be important.
Yeah, if you're feeding your community and you're taking care of the guests who are in your immediate area, that to me is really cool.
Exactly, and really at the end of the day, it's all about the community. They're the ones that are going to keep you going, and that's what we do it for. So I like how you made a point to point that out. Are you ready to drop some invaluable advice that will make our restaurant dreams unstoppable?
Absolutely.
All right. So I like to start every interview off with a success or leadership quote to kind of get the positive momentum going. So can you share with us one success or leadership quote? It could also be a mantra that you use in your professional career.
It's all about communication. It's all about communication between you and your staff. It's about communication between you and your vendors. It's communication, even more importantly, or most importantly, between you and your guests. You got to make sure that what you're doing is hitting the right market, that it's hitting the right mood. It's, that it's really what, the community wants to eat. You start off doing something with having an idea about what you want to cook, how you want to plate something, how you want the menu to read. But you have to have like an ongoing dialogue and communication with your diners to establish, you know, what it is that they're really passionate about and what's going to keep bringing them back into your restaurant.
Exactly. And when you're developing the concept for any restaurant or the menu or anything, it really all goes back. You start with the customer and you listen and you work from there. So you couldn't be more right with that. All right, so the next question I have for you, Ben, is what is your it factor? Smells, taste, views, and sounds. What are the general experiences, vibes, and ambiance that set your restaurant apart from others?
Well, that's actually what we're really working on right now in our developing Thistle Pig. We're working with a really awesome general contractor who is helping us transform a space that was really popular and quite successful. Mm-hmm. Into something that's going to go above and beyond. I think that it's really important when you're dining in a restaurant to be able to feel like a sense of ownership and that there's zones in the restaurant that you look forward to, you know, time and time again going back and sitting in and dining in, whether it be that you're coming in by yourself for a quick martini or a snack, or you're bringing a big group and there's a special community table.
Yeah.
I think that you have to, like, make it comfortable but clean. From what we've been told by every restaurant professional in the planning of our space is that lighting is one of the most important things. During the day, you want to have it bright so that people, know that you're open and that it's a clean, easy, you know, place to pop in and out. Mm-hmm. And then nighttime, you kind of want it a little dim so it's, you know, maybe a little romantic, and you can kind of wind down and kind of, you know, disappear into the bar or the restaurant and relax.
Yeah, light does play a huge role.
For smells, you got to have the restaurant really clean, and you know, sometimes it's really nice to have some herbs or flowers on display throughout the restaurant so that you're kind of breaking up the chemical smell of, obviously, you know, like cleaner and stuff like that. The open kitchen, we're kind of opening up our kitchen in our new space so that you can kind of get a whiff of the delicious food that's, you know, sizzling away and going to be, you know, hitting your plate.
Yep. Awesome. Yeah. I mean, those all go into the ambiance, especially you were talking about the lighting. Having a bright atmosphere really creates a positive energy in the space and kind of promotes that positive, good vibe. And like you're saying, at night, you want to have that sense. You want people to feel comfortable having the lighter, more easy lighting makes people feel like they're welcome and they want to stay and relax and kind of, you know, feel at home. So that's all great advice. And what is it? Well, actually, I wanted to mention too, one thing that I think contributed to part of your success as being a leader at When Pigs Fly was you had this right in your LinkedIn page. My goal always is to engage your customers with unique offerings that feature local and seasonal products. So the word I picked up there was engage, and it seems like you really know how to engage with your customers or your guests and make them feel like they're a part of what's going on.
Yeah, you got to keep it funky. You got to keep on changing. It's fine to have a couple things on the menu that stay the same, but for the most, you know, so you have those anchors so that you have somebody who comes in like at Pig's Fly. People are obsessed with our chicken wings.
Yeah.
You know, those chicken wings aren't going anywhere. Or a margarita pizza, or a really good Greek. So there's certain things that you have that, like, anchor the menu.
Exactly.
But you're not going to go and eat those every single time. You know, you might be bringing in your aunt or uncle or friend because you got to try those chicken wings, but you're not going to eat them every single time.
Exactly.
So you kind of mix it up and keep it fun and fresh, not only for the guests, but also for the cooks and the servers.
Yeah.
You know, it's really, really important to always evolve and change and keep it going.
All incredible advice. The next question I have for you is challenges. Share with us one current challenge you're experiencing. How are you overcoming that challenge?
Time. You know, time is the worst enemy of the restaurant business. You know, you can never do something fast enough. You mm-hmm. can never, you know, the restaurant will take so many hours, it always wants more because there's always a new project to start. There's always something else that you can clean, you know, and that cuts into your, you know, your personal time that, you know, is really important for balance. You can never turn out a dish fast enough because at the end of the day, the customer doesn't want to sit there and, you know, and wait for 15, 20 minutes for something because they have a life as well, too. They want to be in and out and be able to have a good time and not be sitting there with nothing in front of them, you know. Jen is an amazing bartender, and she's really, really fast, but she wishes that she could grow, like two extra sets of arms so that she could be, like, a cocktail machine and, you know, be able to, you know, drop plates. So, clear the table next to her, shake a martini, pour a beer. You know, you just got to be like a whirlwind.
Yeah.
Speed and execution is like really important.
Exactly. Are there any tips about productivity or efficiency that you'd like to share with us that you've been using or you've been exercising to help combat this challenge?
Lists and prioritizing. I take a look, John Joho, who is the namesake of Brasserie Joe in Boston, showed me a really good way to kind of like manage your thoughts. Mm-hmm. And although I don't always draw on a notepad the way that he does, he'll take a notepad and divide it into four quadrants. And one will be a immediately right now, do this as soon as you're done writing. The next one is I'm going to do this today. Then the next category is tomorrow. And the last category is later on, whether it means 2 days away or next week or what have you, to kind of like organize your thoughts into priorities and organize your day so you're not like working on something perhaps that could wait until next week and then you're letting all your paperwork or everything else pile up mm-hmm. because you're taking care of something. Just because it popped in your head doesn't mean you have to do it right away.
I think I know the example you're talking about. I've seen it used in my restaurant design and strategic planning class, but it's four quadrants, and in the top left-hand quadrant, I think it's urgency, or the top half is urgency, and the bottom half is importance or something. So you have the four quadrants in the top left-hand. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, how... Is it, like, time-sensitive? And if it's not time-sensitive, then you put it down below. And if it's urgent and time-sensitive, you put it in the top left-hand corner. I can kind of draw a picture and throw in the show notes. I'm not really great at explaining things. But, yeah, I've definitely heard of that trade. Or not that trade, but that trick. And it's a great advice. Thank you for sharing that with us. I know Jen's back there. Does Jen have any advice about bartending she wants to share with us? You can pipe up, Jen. It's okay.
Advice on bartending?
Yeah.
Multitasking, being able to have a conversation with your guests at the bar and staying really, really busy the entire time.
And do you have any tricks that help with that?
Always keep moving.
That's always a good trick.
Keep your hands moving, keep your feet moving, and keep your mouth moving. As long as you're doing all of those at once, then you're achieving all of your goals at the same time.
Sounds good. Thank you, Jen, for chipping in. All right. Did you want to add anything to that question, Ben, before I move on to the next one?
No, I think that's about it.
Awesome. The next question I have for you is leadership. How important is it?
110%. If you don't have strong leadership, and if you're not willing to get in there and do whatever you're asking your employees to do, then you don't have legs to stand on. You know, I went through a recent transition at Flynn Pigs Fly. You know, I'm in the process of opening my own restaurant with Jen, and I'm managing a staff of, during the off-season, 50 people, during the summer season, 100. And we're in a transition to new dishwashers. And my new dishwashers were having a hard time. Mm-hmm. And so new guys, really busy. You know, I was not only the head chef, but also the general manager of the restaurant. And I was spending quite a bit of time in the dish pit with my dishwashers because they needed help and they needed to be taught a system and they needed a hand. There's 10,000 different things that I could have been doing, but if I'm asking those dish guys to get in there and rock and roll and be able to take care of a Saturday night service or a busy Sunday, then they have to be shown. So you have to get in there and you have to work with them because then there's a heightened respect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're exactly right, Ben. And this kind of reminds me, I was reading a book that one of my previous guests had recommended called, it's Seth Godin's Tribes. And it's a book really about how to lead and how to create change. And he talks about leaders don't push. They don't yell at people telling them what to do and how to do it. They pull. And they pull by setting the example, by doing it and showing them how it's done, and kind of pulling people in their wake as they, you know, tear through the job. And once you get that momentum going in that wake, people just want to follow. So they get sucked in. So that's great advice. One thing I also noticed that I really, really liked about your website at When Pigs Fly, and I know you have another project getting started, and I don't want to emphasize too much on the past, but you said you were a GM, so I'm assuming you did have some input on the website design, and you incorporate everyone on your design. When it says get to know us, I think it's like the get to know us page, but our people. It's not just the executive chef and the GMs and the owners, but you guys go as far and as deep as including the server assistants and hosts. And when you make people feel like they're a part of the team and they're so important to the effort that you're going to, you know, feature them on the website, that just makes them feel like they're a part of it and they're invested in it. When people feel like they're invested and important, they just work that much harder. So that was great that I saw you doing that. I think more restaurants should lead in that or follow you guys in that example. I've never seen that before, and I think it's incredible that you do that. So
They're the most important people in the restaurant. Like, everybody always forgets about it, but the two most important people in the restaurant is the host and the dishwasher. The host regulates the flow of how people are coming in. They set that first experience. Like, you know, if you are greeted by a grumbly person who has no idea what they're doing, then you're already off on a bad foot. So let's say the host just opens the gates and flat seats the restaurant, then that winds up first having a negative effect on the kitchen or on the server because they're scrambling, and then it trickles down to the kitchen because then they're scrambling, mm-hmm. and then it winds up hurting the support staff because they're trying to clear, and then the dish pits get slammed. So everybody winds up in the weeds. So exactly. You have to have a very strong pop, like, you know, and a lot of times it's people at the beginning of their career who are the hosts, but it's very key. And dishwasher is the same deal. Like, every single pan, every single pot, every single spoon, every single plate, every single glass has been handled by that person. Like, if there's none of those things, and if things are taking too long or coming out dirty, then it disrupts the flow. So in my opinion, all the kudos go to the support staff and not just the main event, but every single member of the staff is very integral.
You're exactly right. A team, there's not many other professions where teamwork plays such a huge role in the end product. All it takes is one loose, link in the chain for everything to crumble. And you talk about how important hosts are. A class I took recently, Managing Services in Food and Beverage Operations, they talk about the host being the team leader. Really, they're not just, smiling, which is a huge part of it, but it's making sure everything's flowing and jumping in when you see someone's in the weeds. They're like, how do you explain it? They're the relief, if you, so to speak, I guess. They jump around and they help out whenever somebody's in need. And I really don't think that the host gets enough credit if used right. So great advice. I enjoyed listening. Thank you for that. And the last question I have before we jump into the speed round is success definition. How would you define success in the restaurant industry? What habits does your restaurant have that contribute to the success?
I would say success to me is a balance. Success to me is that you have a busy, profitable restaurant, that you have success stories within the restaurant, that it's not just the owners or the management that are, you know, financially killing it, that you have people who have come up through your ranks, maybe started in a ground level position and has worked their way up to being a manager or a bartender and has provided opportunities. And so that to me is what success is.
Awesome. I love it. Great answer. So we're going to jump into On the Fly round. This is kind of a speed round. I like to call it On the Fly for, you know, a little restaurant jargon there. But try to answer these questions in 2 to 3 sentences. If you need a little more, that's fine. But we try to, you know, this is where you drop the invaluable advice on how to, like, you know, market and manage restaurants and your tips for success. So share with us.
All right, so Jen might buzz in as well, too. We got our Jeopardy buzzers going on.
Okay. That's awesome.
I'll take restaurant management for $500, please.
I like it. Great. Yeah. Feel free, Jen. This is I'm throwing these up for everyone. So the first question I have for you is, share with us one hiring tip or tool you use.
It is the most important thing that you can do in the restaurant. We were actually just talking about it before you called. You have to make sure that you have a staff that is willing to work hard, be positive, be flexible, have a sense of humor, and willing to learn. You know, from there you can kind of train and teach somebody anything, but if you don't have those basic things, then you're not going to work in the restaurant.
Exactly. And I like that you mentioned willing to learn. And I think I'm going to be quoting Evan Hennessy often. He had mentioned his definition or how important leadership was. He quotes, you know, a leader, in order to be a good leader, you need to first be considering yourself a student. And that's finding somebody who's willing to learn is a good, you know, indication that that employee will grow to eventually become a leader. So that, I love that you mentioned that. That's great. All right. The next question I have for you is, once you find a quality employee, what creative incentives do you provide to keep them as a valuable team member?
Well, there's the obvious is being able to monetarily reward them, but at the end of the day, people can always make money somewhere else, especially as a line cook. You know, line cook, you know, isn't going to be the highest paid job in the world. But what you can provide people is other incentives. You know, maybe there is, maybe there's a staff meal. Maybe there's a collaboration on a dish.
I think giving them their dream schedule.
Yeah,
giving them a consistent schedule that they can count on and work around their families and their regular day and their week is really important to make people happy.
Exactly.
If you change the schedule one day, you can really turn their whole world upside down. So keeping it consistent for them makes them really happy.
And if you help them out, they'll help you out too. If you're constantly helping accommodate their special events, when you're in the gym, they'll remember that, and they'll come in and they'll pitch in when you need their help. So that's thanks for pitching.
You give them opportunities for growth as well too. Mm-hmm. Like just because you start as a dishwasher doesn't mean that you're always going to be a dishwasher. That you can grow with the company and that you can, you know, that your career can. Sorry. Jen just said speed round. That was going too long.
No, it's okay. It's all right. I don't want to. I'm sure everything you have to share is valuable, so drop it on us.
Yep.
So last thing before I move to the next question. This is, I'm quoting you from your LinkedIn page again. I value happy employees as much as I... Oh, I'm sorry. Let me start over. I value happy employees as much as the satisfaction of our customers. And that's really, you have to have it not just be about the customers, but be about the team. And if you show that you value them, along with, you know, like you say, showing that they have a future with you, they're going to feel like they're important. And if they feel like they're important, they're going to want to stick with you. So all great advice. The next question I have for you is marketing tactics and tools. What has been working for you? Can you share a practice that has shown results?
Social media.
Yes.
Total social media. Facebook and getting on and keeping things alive and flowing and letting people know what you have going on a daily basis. Because if you're not posting, if you're not doing things like on the regular, people forget about you.
Exactly. And what do you mean by what we have going on?
Well, for us here in the space right now, it's construction. We'll go on and we'll post actually through Rachel Forrest in a blog right now. But every step of the way of, in our case right now, opening the restaurant, whether it be putting up a wall, building a bar, a conversation with our accountant, like all of the things that are kind of building towards the restaurant. And at Pig's Fly and other locations, it's a new dish, it's a new cocktail, it's new hours, you know, all kinds of new things are always popping up.
Great. And so you haven't even opened the doors to your new location, and you're already engaging with your future customers.
Correct. We have had a crazy, absolutely crazy response. Like, when I looked last, our page has been up since Saturday, and we already have over 460 likes.
See, to me, that's incredible. You know, advice right there. Creating buzz is what you're doing, and you're making people feel like they're a part of the birth of this new location. It's not just a place to eat now. They're connected. They're following the story. They're engaged, and they're following you along on the journey of creating this dream restaurant. And I'm sure you've always been thinking about it ever since you got into this career. So that's great advice. Thank you very much for sharing that. What is one restaurant or business book you'd recommend to our listeners?
Jen, you go first.
Let me think for one second.
Take your time. We can always cut this.
One restaurant book?
Yep.
I don't know. This past winter, I really fell in love with the Mama Fuko Milk Bar Cookbook because it took baking to a different level and kind of opened up the opportunity to take old home style favorite things and really put like a different twist on them. So that to me was probably my first real cookbook that I actually fell in love with and tried to make the things at home, opposed to just like your everyday cookbook that your grandmother might have.
Awesome.
For me, one of my favorites, that I've really been living and dying by has been the Joe Beef Cookbook. I think that it's a couple guys who opened a restaurant in a location that wasn't massively successful and who had basically, you know, the world is their oyster. They could have done whatever anywhere, and they decided to open a special little spot and just live a good life and make really good food and enjoy the people around them.
You know, and that's, I think the trick behind their story probably is the fact that they're just passionate about it. And when you're passionate about it and it's your life and you just want to be happy and spread the happiness, it's contagious and people just jump on board. So I'll have to check out that book, both of those books. Thank you for sharing. All right. The next question I have for you is, could you recommend any gadget, service, or tool that has improved your restaurant's productivity, efficiency, profitability, or communication? These tools can be used back of house or front of house.
For me, I've really loved the schedule fly as a overall tool for scheduling and communicating through the staff, because you have everyone's email and a cell phone linked up. So if you say like it's a snowstorm, you need to close, you can, rather than going through and doing a group text and this and that, you can log into ScheduleFly and you can blast it out to everyone.
I love it.
Say there's a schedule change or what have you, it blasts out to everyone, and then it works as like a virtual interface, almost like Facebook for the servers and cooks, and they can trade shifts back and forth. It is awesome.
Yes, I have had ScheduleFly on my radar. I've been meaning to do a blog post about ScheduleFly, but I've been so busy trying to get this podcast off the ground. They also have a great book out called Restaurant Owners Uncorked. The name of the book is Restaurant Owners Uncorked, not Uncooked. Sorry about that. Back to the show. In a web series where they, kind of like this podcast, where they talk to restaurant professionals and find out what it is that contributes to their success. So that's a great resource too, put up by the folks of ScheduleFly. And what I really like about their product is it creates, like you said, communication, but it also holds people accountable. Everybody today has a cell phone. You have your schedule in your hand at all times. You don't have any excuses. So that's a great service. Thank you so much for sharing that. The last question I have for you guys, what is the best restaurant or business advice you've ever received?
I would say from our builder, Lewis, who's owned several restaurants, and he just says, make a decision. Just make a decision.
Doesn't matter if it's the right or wrong one, just make it and move forward.
Yeah, there's a famous saying that I hear, John Lee Dumas, who is kind of one of my, I guess you could call him my mentor, because I listen to his podcast, Entrepreneurs on Fire, and he says, a good decision now is better than a great decision later. So if you can make a quick decision now, at least you're doing something and you're working towards a goal. And you can always pivot and change as you go, but you just have to make a decision sometimes. So that's great advice. Did you have one you wanted to share, Jen?
No.
Okay.
I'm really bad on the spot, so I'm just going to say no. I disagree with Ben on that, because every step of the way going on, we keep running into hemming and hawing over things, and then we just keep going back to that quote. Remember what Lewis said, just make a decision. Yeah, right now we're working so closely with Lewis Hamill as our project designer and project manager. He's just been by our side every step of the way so far, so we're just kind of following his lead and taking his advice.
Exactly. Yeah. I like it. Awesome. So we're going to wrap it up now. So call somebody out. Who is one restaurant professional you admire and believe would be a great addition to our community here at Restaurant Unstoppable?
I think it would be great for you to talk to Nick Callis.
All right.
He's the corporate chef of the Colonnade Restaurant down in Boston, and he oversees Brasserie Joe, which is the restaurant where I was the chef de cuisine of. And he is somebody who is managing a massive crew of cooks. He's the food and beverage director, so he oversees the front, and he's doing it in a union environment better than anybody else in Boston. So
awesome. You hear that, Nick? I'm coming for you. Be ready. All right, so give yourself a plug. Where can we find your restaurants and services, and what's your plan for the future? I know you have some, this is where you're going to be looking forward to dropping all this new information on us about your new location. And let us know how we can connect.
Our restaurant is Thistle Pig. Thistle Pig is at 279 Main Street, South Berwick, Maine. We are in the process of renovation. We're going to be opening up the first part of May. We're shooting for the first week. It's going to be a really fun neighborhood spot, vibrant bar, cool community table, some cool benches. There's going to be a vertical garden along one of the back walls.
Awesome.
Partially open kitchen. And menu will change on a daily basis. It's going to be written up on a chalkboard using fun, funky food from my family farm in South Berwick, Maine. So,
awesome. Well, I look forward to it. I'm sure it is going to be awesome. And I guess I'll talk to you next time.
Awesome.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
No problem. Thank you. You're welcome, Jen.
All right.
Another successful episode here at Restaurant Unstoppable. I think Ben killed it. I loved how we talked about sometimes in the heat of the moment, you just need to make a decision, especially in a busy atmosphere like a restaurant. You don't always have that luxury of really getting to think about the decision you have to make. You just need to make it. And you waste time when you think. So you just got to, buck up and make that decision. I really like that advice. I also really liked how he brought up Schedule Fly. I've been waiting for one of my guests who had mentioned that service. It's a great service. I'm looking more into it. I want to learn more. I think the people, if you listen to their story, the people behind the product are incredible. I think that they have a genuine interest in helping those indie restaurants, just like I have a genuine interest in helping the small guys do big things in their respective communities. So check them out. I'll provide the links in the show notes. And it was fun. Until next time, peace out.